Well, we survived Black Friday, and that was easy. We didn't leave the house. Not that there was anything that I saw in any of the ads or commercials or flyers that I really wanted, and nothing that I needed. We survived Small Business Saturday. Again, we, I don't think, left the house that day. We also survived Cyber Monday. We left the house, but we didn't go on any of the sites. I know Amazon, they have a big thing along with everybody else, big deals. And we survived Giving Tuesday as well, because we already give to those places that we feel that God wants us to give to. You know, we supported a child in Africa. We give to K-Love, and we give to the local Christian radio station and other things. So, you know, we support a missionary that's in China. So we're giving what we feel and where we feel we're supposed to be. But I know that, you know, Giving Tuesday, that there's a lot of organizations that would really suffer without that special day, encouraging people to give. And so, you know, we have nothing against Giving Tuesday. The other days, you know, if there's things that you need, you know, like one person had on Facebook, you know, why don't grocery stores, you know, have a sale on Black Friday where you can get, you know, buy one, get one free on all of their meat or whatever it might be. Things that we really could use, things that we could need. But this message isn't going to be about giving, okay? Even though there are five Tuesdays in December. You know, we spend a lot on Christmas time or during the holidays. You know, I know with us, we do a lot of baking, a lot of cooking. You know, you have special meals. You know, we seem to really enjoy that part of the holidays. Everybody does. You know, even if you're not into some of the other stuff, you know, the food everybody's into. Again, on Facebook the other day, there was a thing that said we live in a nation plagued with obesity, and one of the number one biggest fads right now is skinny jeans. I know I do my part in keeping America obese. A young man the other day said, I don't like chocolate. You know, if I didn't like chocolate, I'd probably be about 30 or 40 pounds lighter than what I am. You know, because I like to make fudge, especially this time of year. Peanut butter fudge, chocolate mint, eggnog fudge, chocolate, strawberry or raspberry. But as soon as I make it, I try to get it out of the house and give it to somebody else and let them put the calories on. But I just want to kind of alert you to something that if you're not familiar with it, it started in 2015 at the church that we were going to in Lexington, Kentucky, Southland Christian Church. And if you go on YouTube and put in Christmas According to Kids and look for Southland, there's probably others out there. But the one that Southland does is, it has over 60 million hits on all the different sites that it's been put onto. So check that out, okay? Christmas According to Kids by Southland Christian Church. But let's pray. Father, I just give you thanks for this time of year, and Lord, help us to not lose focus of what this is all about. It's not about the food. It's not about the buying and the presents and all that. It's all about Jesus, that without him there wouldn't be a Christmas. And so, Father, help us as believers to remember that in everything that we do. The things that we say, the decorations that we do, the cards that we send, Lord, that it all points to Jesus. So, Father, help us as we look at another part of the Christmas story today, to get the message that you have for us. And Lord, it may be familiar to us, but Lord, maybe you'll help us find something new. In Jesus' name, amen. So Mary didn't say, "I don't wanna," even though she may have thought about it. So let's take a look at Joseph. Did he have some of those same thoughts? Did Joseph want to say, "I don't wanna"? So we have to go to Matthew chapter 1 to check that out. And these are verses 18 to 25, and most of it, I think, is in the New Living Translation. Okay, it says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred according to fulfill God's message through his prophet. 'Look, the angel will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God is with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus." Okay, so let's try to break this familiar passage down and see if there's something new there for us. Now, verse 18, there's a lot of info there. Okay, Joseph and Mary were engaged, and Mary was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, some of this is going to be a review from my last message, "I Don't Wanna." So bear with me or just deal with it. But in order to put the whole story together, you need all the info. So there's a lot that we maybe don't know about all of this. When did Mary inform Joseph of her being pregnant? Did she let him know, you know, like right after Gabriel had come to visit her? Or did she wait until it was becoming a little obvious? Did Mary tell Joseph, or did somebody else, you know, if she waited until it was starting to look kind of obvious, maybe somebody went to Joseph and said, "Hey, you know, you and Mary messing around here." And so maybe, you know, it came about that way. When Joseph heard, did he believe her? You know, at least a little bit. I mean, did it sound like something that was maybe possible? Excuse me. Or did Joseph think that Mary was just some kind of wacko? You know, I mean, that's kind of a wild story for somebody to tell you. And so he did he look at the pregnancy as a good way to get out of this marriage? You know, maybe thinking, you know, "I don't know, Mary, she's got this wild story. It really doesn't sound believable. You know, maybe this isn't the woman for me. So maybe now's a good time to bail on this." So, but in verse 19, it tells us that Joseph didn't want to make a big deal out of this. It says that he was a righteous man. Okay, that it means that he was faithful to the law, that he was noble, that he was full of integrity. So the, you know, he was a good man. He was just. He was right. So Joseph was a good guy. You know, even though he may have felt that he had been wronged, maybe he felt that he had been lied to, he still wanted to do what was right and the best thing for Mary, even though she maybe didn't deserve it. He still was going to do what he felt was the right thing to do. So I don't believe he was off on his thinking. Excuse me. Because Mary's story, that's kind of hard to believe. You know, I mean, put yourself in Joseph's place. And, you know, if that had come to you. And he was probably under a lot of pressure to end this engagement. You know, once his family found out, you know, that his family probably said, you know, you need to ditch this girl and move on here, Joseph. You know, this is not certainly the way you want to start out your married life, with her telling you that she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit and not somebody else, you know, if it wasn't you. And his friends, you know, maybe even, you know, the rabbi got in there and said, you know, hey, Joseph, you know, you're a good man. Let's kind of end this and just sort of move on here, Joe. You know, this doesn't look like a good situation. But he didn't want to bring a lot of shame on Mary. You know, even though in his mind, maybe, and in the mind of his family and friends and all, she really deserved it. That everybody felt that this was probably the best thing, to just end it and move on, until verse 20. Okay, because that changes everything. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, we don't know who this guy was. Maybe it was Gabriel. Doesn't give him a name. It could be. You know, Gabriel, he was familiar with the case, all right? And so he knew, you know, I mean, he could say, you know, I'm the one that went to Mary and told her this. You know, I'm the one that broke the news to Mary about this, you know, if it was him. And so if it was Gabriel, he, you know, at the time that he had told Mary, he was probably thinking, I'm probably going to be going to visit Joseph here at some time in the future, just to kind of get this thing straightened out. So when he got back from Mary's visit, God may have said to him, you know, you need to keep yourself available. Excuse me. You need to keep yourself available, Gabriel, because in a few months, you're going to have to go and see Joseph. Now, this time, the angel appears in a dream with Mary. It says, God sent the angel, Gabriel. So it sounds more like an in-person thing. Excuse me. I'm not sure what's wrong with my throat this morning. But with Joseph, it says he appeared in a dream. And the angel says to not fear taking Mary as his wife. And Gabriel had talked to Mary about her fear as well. The Greek word there for fear is phobeo. It's where we get the word phobia. It means, you know, to fear, to terror, alarm, to be frightened, or also to be in reverence. And I don't think that applies here, but Joseph may have been in reverence to the angel, but it's not what we're talking about. And the Passion Translation, it says, don't hesitate to take Mary as your wife. So Joseph may have been thinking at first, do you know what she told me? You know, angel, you know, are you sure? You know, I mean, I have every right to not marry her. But the angel goes on and says the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So Joseph is thinking, okay, I mean, that's what Mary told me. You know, maybe there's something to this after all. You know, maybe it's true. You know, maybe Mary wasn't lying to me. So in verse 21, it all comes together. And, you know, he finds out that Mary's story is true, unreasonable as it sounds, because it says that she'll give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now that's from the NIV. It says, now the angel really has Joseph's attention, okay? Because Joseph is thinking, that's what Mary told me. So this, it must be true. And the angel said that you are to give him the name Jesus, because Joseph was the head of the house. And so he chooses the name. And so God, through the angel, is telling Joseph, this is what you will name the child, because God is the head of everything. So Matthew adds to this exchange in verses 22 and 23. This is from the Passion Translation. It says, this happened so that what the Lord spoke through his prophet would come true. Listen, a virgin will be pregnant, she will give birth to a son, and he will be known as Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God became one of us. Okay, and that's given to us through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14. So Matthew, more than any other gospel writers, references often prophecies that were being fulfilled, because he's trying to enlighten those that would be reading. So it doesn't read like the angel shared this prophecy with Joseph, but it was a prophecy that any good Jew would know. Okay, and it sounds like Joseph was a good Jew, because it tells us he wanted to do what was right according to the law. So he knew the law. But this is a prophecy. It wasn't just a few weeks before or a few years before. It was 700 years approximately from the time Isaiah gave that prophecy until it was fulfilled. So for 700 years, the Jews had been waiting for this, and now this nobody carpenter living in a nowhere town was going to be part of the fulfillment of this prophecy. Joseph had to be thinking, wait a minute now. The woman that I'm going to be marrying is going to give birth to the Savior of the world, and I'm going to be the stepfather to the Messiah. Well, I don't know about this. Okay, maybe you don't like the stepfather thing. How about I'm going to be the earthly father of the Messiah? Whatever you want to call him, he had to raise the Savior of the world. So now what? Well, verses 24 and 25 tells us this in the NIV. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. When Joseph had no doubt in his mind, as crazy as this whole thing maybe seemed to him, and even crazier to his friends and family, Joseph and Mary got married and lived as husband and wife, except that they didn't consummate or have union with or have sexual relations until after Jesus was born. And this is a really, really important thing that we can't miss, because if it didn't happen that way, Jesus was not the Savior. Okay, because it says that the baby was to be born of a virgin. So Mary was a virgin at conception. She was a virgin at Jesus' birth. And again, Joseph named him Jesus as he was told to. I know sometimes it says you will call him Jesus. Sometimes you will call him Emmanuel. Don't let that confuse you. Jesus is a Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Okay, Emmanuel, God with us. So as long as we're on the subject, all right, let's go here. Okay, it may ruffle some feathers, but some believe in the ever Virgin Mary, that, you know, she was forever a virgin, you know, that they never had sexual relations. Well, what do you do with Jesus's brothers? Okay, they've talked about, and it's believed that James, the book of James, was the brother of Jesus, and James, it's being talked about in some of the other letters, that's Jesus's brother. Well, some believe that Joseph was a widower, and he had these sons before Jesus, okay, which I guess is possible. But as I read Matthew 1:25, after Jesus' birth, Mary is no longer a virgin. So you may have a problem with that, but if you do, take it up with the scripture, okay, you know, that's what it says. So I want to move on to Matthew chapter 2, looking at verses 13 to 15 first. Excuse me, this is from the Passion Translation. It says, Joseph had another dream. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, get up now and flee to Egypt. Take Mary and the little child and stay there until I tell you to leave, for Herod intends to search for the child to kill him. So that very night he got up, took Jesus and his mother, and made their escape to Egypt, and remained there until Herod died. All of this fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, I summoned my son out of Egypt. Okay, two things. One is, it says that he took Jesus and his mother. It doesn't say he took Jesus and his brothers and his mother. Okay, so if there had been brothers beforehand, unless they were grown, they probably would have been with them, but doesn't tell us that. Again, we don't know who the angel was. Maybe Gabriel, maybe not. But this helps to prove two things. One, the kind of person that Joseph was, and two, the love that he had for Jesus and for Mary. Okay, because it says he got up that very night and did this. Okay, Joseph could have said, I really have no desire to go to Egypt. You know, I've got my home here, you know, my carpenter business, my family's all here. And, you know, who knows how long it's going to be before Herod dies. You know, I could be there for 10, 20 years before he dies. So, you know, I'll send Mary and Jesus to Egypt, and then I'll go and get them when it's safe. But he didn't do that. Okay, he wasted no time in leaving. You know, he got up, packed their few things that they had or needed, and headed out for Egypt. Okay, and this prophecy that was being fulfilled, we find in Hosea 11:1. But there's more to the story to come, because in Matthew 2:19-21, in the NIV, it tells us this. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. Again, an angel. Again, an obedient Joseph. And again, it sounds like it was right away. Okay, he appeared in the dream, and then it says he got up and he took him and he left. But there's even more to this story. Okay, verses 22 and 23. It says, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. So having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in the town of Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called out of Nazarene. This is the last time that we hear of the angels coming to Joseph, okay? And he's probably glad for that, because every time the angel shows up, there's some big changes that are coming. You know, Mary's pregnant through the Holy Spirit, move to Egypt, come back from Egypt, don't stay there, move over here, okay? So the one thing that I need to point out is the end of verse 23. It says, he would be called a Nazarene. Now, preceding that, it says that this was a fulfillment of the prophets. But if you look in the Old Testament, there's nowhere that it gives that exact phrase, that he would be called a Nazarene. There's references that are made to this, and, you know, maybe Matthew just put that together. You know, I don't know. But it does not give us that specifically spelled out like it does in the other prophecies. Okay, so Joseph had an exciting life being the earthly father of the Messiah. We don't know when Joseph died. We only hear about him one more time, and that's when Jesus was 12 in Luke 2:40 and beyond, when, you know, they had gone to Jerusalem, and then they were on their way home, and they couldn't find Jesus, so went back to Jerusalem, and he was in the temple. So if you want to read that, Luke 2, beginning at verse 40. Now, Joseph could have easily said, from the time the angel first came to him, say, you know, this all sounds really good, angel, but I don't want to. You know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to take this woman as my wife. You know, I mean, what you're saying may be true, but I don't think I'm up to this. Or with the moving thing, he could have said, you know, I don't want to move to Egypt. I don't want to go back to Israel. You know, so Jesus could have said that, just like Mary could have said that as well. But Joseph may have thought along the lines of this song instead, as I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him, because never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? And why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now, I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? And why here inside this stable filled with hay? And why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now, I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. You know, God seldom chooses the way we would. He seldom would choose the people that we would choose. Okay, you know, if I would have been in charge of bringing the Messiah, the Savior of the world, into the world, I never would have done it the way God did. No way. You know, it would have been a palace, it would have been kings, it would have been rulers, there would have been, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, I'm sure, you know, made a big deal out of it. But God did it the right way. God did it the way that it had to be done, so you and I could relate to it. I can't relate to palaces and kings and, you know, big parties and all, you know, that's not something that's ever been part of my life. I can't relate to that. And so God said, I got to do it the way my people can understand it. And so he did it the perfect way, the way that we would never choose. So let me pray for us. Father, I know we've heard this Christmas story time and time again. You know, we may not be sure just exactly where it is in the Bible. We know it's in the Gospels there someplace, but we know that we've heard it this time of year for, well, however many years. We've heard the songs that have been sung about it. We've seen the pictures that have been painted. But Lord, it's all just kind of hard to believe. So Father, help us as your children to just have the faith that we need to believe what's been written, that this is the way you wanted it to happen. And Lord, help us to be able to accept that. And Lord, help us to be able to share that, because the world needs to know what Christmas is about. And, you know, the world is doing a really, really good job of pushing Christ out of Christmas and making it seem like he's the intruder in all of this. And so it needs to be up to us, your children, to let the world know that they're wrong, that Christ is what Christmas is about. So Father, help us to make sure that we do our best and we do our part in getting that message across to people that maybe they don't want to hear it, but Lord, maybe they just need to hear it one more time to believe it. And Lord, if there's any that don't know you, and maybe they too have heard this story over and over again, you know, maybe they were brought up believing that, you know, it was all about Santa Claus and Rudolph and gifts and food and trees and decorations and all of that, and never really believed the real Christmas story. So Father, if there's anyone that's listening that needs to know and believe the truth, the Lord, that they would do that, that they would know that Jesus Christ was indeed born of a virgin. Doesn't make sense, doesn't have to. Faith takes care of that. So give them the faith to believe it. And give them the faith, too, to believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that they're not too bad. Some people think that they are, but Jesus died for the thief on the cross next to him. Jesus died for me, so Jesus died for everyone. But the rest of the story is that Jesus rose from the dead. And Lord, I don't know what's harder to believe. So that's why we need the faith to believe. So Lord, if there's any unbelievers that's listening, Lord, give them the spark of faith that they need to finally believe. In Jesus' name, amen.